Music, among other things.
Music among other things.
M-A-O-T.
And I said, basically, look, I'm really busy. Can you get him to reschedule and come down maybe one day next week? So without realising it, I told David Ockney to fuck off and come back when I'm ready.
All right. MEAT episode 11. Hope everybody is doing well. We are back after a couple of weeks' break, but we got some really great episodes lined up to share with you, which we're really excited to bring out over the next couple of weeks. The first of which is a conversation with my dad, who is a registered dental technician, and as so happens, some of his clients have been some pretty prominent people in the musical world. So expect to hear some stories about Robbie Williams, Roger Daltrey, Elton John and Dave Vanian from The Damned. We also got into some bits around grills in the celeb and rap world, and also Billie Eilish's Invisaligns. So yeah, kick back with myself, Neil, Richard and my dad, and we'll see you on the other side. MEAT Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Like and subscribe. Cheers.
Yeah, hopefully we've got a policy normally where stick to one Kerwick a week, but hopefully you can be the full-time replacement for this prick. So.
Well, you know, we strive for professionalism on this show. Yes, before we get into it, Dad, what's your credentials again? So dental technician, what's the actual qualification now? Just want to get out in front. Wait, you are qualified, right?
My professional qualification is an RDT. I'm a registered dental technician.
RDT. Yeah. And was that something you were going to get on a personalised number plate at some point? Or was that something somebody else did?
One of my first apprentices that I put through college, he still works for me, I might say. He's been with us about 15 years, right from boy to man. when he qualified, because we put him through union, whatever, paid for it all, I might say, we bought him a registration plate for his car, and it was RDT, which is that was his qualification.
What was the rest of the number plate though? Did it have his initial?
I think it was A2RDT. An A2 is like a recognised, what we call a colour scale within our business.
Oh, wow, so it's all like dental related. And does he still have it?
Yeah, he's still got it, yeah.
It's either on the car or above the toilet.
Yeah, no, it's on the car, isn't it?
I love the commitment to impress such a niche audience. To 99% of people walking past, be like, oh, you know, going in and spot it, and then you see it driving past, and it's just another thing of beauty.
And I was going to say the only people that would know what it was are people in the business. So,
exactly.
Yeah. I just saw one the other day. Funny enough, when we was in Norfolk, we're just on that main road coming down from where we were. There was a blacked out Range Rover came past, and well, I told you about it, Sean, didn't I?
Yeah, you thought so the registration number read Elbow, and Dad thought it was Guy Garvey, and I was like, Guy Garvey, that's just not his vibe, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's quite a quaint,
Mancunian. Elbow.
Well, maybe he was like, a chiropractor or whoever deals with elbows.
It
looked, I mean, it went past pretty quick, but I think it was maybe spelt slightly different.
Yeah.
But having said that, I'm not so sure, you know, I think it was definitely elbow.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody else put like qualifications, you know, the more like, you know, standard ones like nine, like GCSEs or like A stars or something, I don't know.
I mean, I'm still in Norfolk, so I'm going to be keeping an eye out for Elbow now.
Yeah, have a look out, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Just spot shin.
Different body parts. So, yeah, obviously we're joined by Robin, Kerrick, or Papa this week.
Hello.
Daddy.
Hello.
So, Dad, we got you on to talk about Rockstar Dentistry and bits and bobs around teeth and rock stars. So I know you've worked on some pretty famous people's, you know, dental work.
Mashes. We call them mashes.
In the industry.
So first of all, though, because as soon as you mention the word dentist or, you know, dental, people immediately think of the guy you go to see every 6 months in a chair. But you're a dental technician. So what's the sort of key difference between a dentist and a dental technician?
About 200 grand a year, I think. in the dentist's favour.
So essentially, you know, the dentists are your client of the dentist. Is that right?
Well, that's right. If the dentist is, if he's busy, I'm busy. If he's not, right. I'm not. Or if he chooses to send his work to me, then I'll make some money. If he doesn't, I don't.
So, yeah, just to clarify, so dental technician, so it's almost like, say if Liam Gallagher got his teeth punched out in a brawl in the 90s, my dad would be the guy who would replicate.
Well, do you realise how close you are to the real story on this, or not?
Oh, wait, yeah, go on. This will be a good example.
Noel Gallagher got his teeth knocked out in the 90s, and we sorted them out down at
my... What do you say sorted out? It sounds like you beat up somebody.
Basically, he lost his front teeth. He got smacked in the mouth in a fight in Germany, and I think it's documented as well. If you Google it, you'll probably pick it up.
So, do you remember the details of the case? What you needed to do for it?
Only what we got from the press, really. No more than anybody else, but he was patient.
In terms of the work you did, what tooth was it on? Do you remember?
Two front teeth.
Wow.
Were they nice teeth or? Well shaped.
I think the shape was pretty good. Yeah, I don't think there was any, you know, any other issues. The fact that he'd been smacked in the gob.
So using that as an example to describe my dad's profession, he would basically make Noel Gallagher's two front teeth to replace it, and then the dentist would fit it. Is that right?
Well, yeah, but they would do the surgery. Put it this way, the best, easiest way to describe it is the dentist does the surgical stuff, and I do the technical stuff.
They take the credit for your work, basically.
You're a sharp man, Neil. And do you know what? You're actually not far off there. But I'm in therapy at the moment about regarding being bitter and twisted about my avenue of dentistry, and I'm happy with what I've got now. Now I'm at the end of the session. I have been through the stage where you just think you just. It's amazing that you really don't. I've seen articles written about cases that I've done, and you never get your name doesn't even get mentioned.
Yeah, that is annoying.
But I'm over it now. I'm over it.
That's why you've come on the biggest podcast of the South.
Yes, that's right.
Take the dental industry down to its knees. Dad, do you know who Billie Eilish is?
I do. He's a guy that's done something. He's a guy that's done something with his sister for a Bond film soundtrack. Yeah,
you are sort of right.
Hold on, wait a minute. No, her name is Billy, isn't it?
That's right. You got it.
Yeah. What a twat. not her, me. I mean me.
So yeah, they are. So there's Billie Eilish and her brother produced everything. And they did do the last Bond thing. But she's one of like the biggest stars in the world, very popular with the youth, and makes really interesting music as well. But her album starts off with the sound of her taking off her Invisalign before getting into track one.
Really? So,
yeah. So, but you know, back in the day, braces and orthodontic work always have that like nerdy stigma attached, but it's almost like she's owning the braces. And you can imagine it becoming more popular since Billie Eilish has done something like that or ridden the sort of trend for it.
Well, I mean, you're only talking about the last sort of 18 months, 2 years, aren't you, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, long before that, maybe 5 years before, that it was considered to be trendy, you know, and it wasn't. I mean, it used to be a real stigma, like wearing, you know, those really thick sort of NHS glasses or little round glasses when you're kids.
But, yeah.
You know, it's certainly not been the stigma, I don't think, probably for the last, probably 10 years, really.
Do you feel there's a way that you can find out with your industry contacts whether Billie Eilish's record and the use of Invisalign has contributed to the increase in the popularity of Invisalign? Or...
I don't know about directly, but I wouldn't have thought it had done any harm.
Well, actually, thinking of that, the brace work stuff, because, Dad, you had braces in your mid-40s.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get any weird comments from mates and stuff, or was it generally just...
Probably, but, like you said, you have to... You know, there's a reason for doing things, and it's not always just about the way you look. It's for, you know, other reasons where you've got malocclusion, and which, in my case, I had a dodgy bite, so that had to be corrected.
DB, but, we call it in the industry.
Dodgy bite, yeah. or actually, malocclusion is what they call it.
That won't fill on a number plate, will it?
Yeah, no. I tell you what, you can get that one. It's not a problem. It's quite cheap, that one.
it's quite weird because I remember there was a point where me and you both had the train tracks.
Yeah.
You know, at a similar time.
Yeah.
But, looking good now, though.
Well, 40% of orthodontics is adult orthodontics.
Wow, they are a cold hard stat, the first time at MUAT pod.
Yeah, 40%. That's quite a lot of adults having ortho treatment.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. So we got you on to chat about some of the musicians you've done dental work on. And as far as I'm aware, there's not any patient technician confidentiality, right?
No, not really. Well, I have to be a little bit careful what I say, but but no one's going to listen to this anyway, are they?
Exactly. It's going to be the dud episode. So one of the ones that springs to mind is Robbie Williams.
Yeah,
that's probably like one of the most famous people you've done work on, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't meet Robbie, though, did you?
Didn't meet Robbie, no. No, I met his articulated models.
Can you tell a lot about a guy from their articulated models?
Well, in his case, yes.
Okay. Care to elaborate?
being a young fella at the time, Robbie I'm talking about, he would have been mid-30s, so I'm going back, let's just say I'm going back maybe 15 years. He had a very odd bite. When you articulated the models, his bite looked very odd. And if you ever look at an old photograph of him, you'll see that he's got like a V shape in his two front teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's almost like the same shape as if you put your thumb in your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you rub, say you put your thumb in your mouth and you rub the top of the roof of your mouth with your thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now imagine what would happen if that was an abrasive substance he were using.
He's using his words very carefully.
Yeah. Imagine if that was an abrasive substance like something like grit.
Yeah.
Yeah, something's going on there. And I've seen it lots of times in bankers, you know, that's with a B, by the way. Yeah, high finance. You see those young guys, so they've got
yeah, that. High finance in two senses of the words.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an abrasive. They use an abrasive for some reason.
Yeah.
Which, you know, misshapes their teeth.
Interesting.
I think one of the ones that really stuck out to me as well was the frontman of the Damned, Dave Vanian.
Yes.
So this was quite an odd one. Tell us what the brief was that came across your desk.
I've often been asked, like, you know, with my connections with the theatre, I've often been asked to make things that are, you know, that you can remove, that are temporary. You know, you can put them in for your act and whatever. Maybe crooked teeth, old teeth, broken down teeth. Sometimes, around about Halloween time, you know, you'd be asked to do fangs and stuff, which he asked me for, but he wanted them fitted permanently.
Which is insane.
Yeah, yeah. So he wanted these pointed fangs, like the Dracula style, fitted permanently. Can't take them out. Cemented in. Never been asked for that before, never seen.
And as far as you know, has he still got them?
I mean, look, I've seen some photographs. I think you dug out some photographs of him recently.
Yeah, yeah.
You said he still had them. So
I think he does.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going back to 1981 when I made that.
Jesus. But surely that would change, you know, if you're eating something or yeah, the way you eat, that would change a lot about that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, but it's amazing how what you adapt to if you know.
If you've got a couple of fangs in.
I'm just looking him up, like on his occupation on Wikipedia. It's got a singer, songwriter, musician, but first and foremost, he's a grave digger.
Oof. Yeah, that's right. Now you've said that. I remember that.
So maybe,
Well, you know who else was a grave digger, don't you? Rod Stewart.
Was he?
Yeah, that was his original job. That's what he was, a grave digger.
Weird.
It's got here, yep. Like on Wikipedia again, on his career, it says, in November 76, the British music magazine NME stated that Vanian resembles a runaway from the Addams family. So he's always had this vampire thing about him, I reckon. I reckon it's in his blood.
Yeah, oh, yeah, nice one. Yeah, I got that. No, very quiet, very, very sort of not won't look you in the eye sort of guy. You know, look at the floor rather than look at me kind of thing. Strange.
Yeah, so that was his vibe. I mean, were you into the work of the Damned?
No, I wasn't really. But there was a couple of nurses that I knew at the time were. And they were like, wow, right. You met him and all that. And I'm like, yeah, so what? I didn't really, I'll be honest, I didn't actually know who he was.
Did he
was never massive, was he? You know,
no, I think they had their own cult following, but they
definitely,
weren't.
Definitely you know, cult. It was not, I really did not know who he was.
It's all making sense. The album was called David Vanian and the Phantom Chords.
Yeah. He's going, I mean, maybe you wonder if he always liked that stuff, which is why he went into grave digging or the grave digging sort of.
What came first? Know, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's that chicken or egg situation.
Yeah, but how comes you guys all know about them?
I don't.
Oh, you don't?
Neither do I. Lovely.
I've just got the joy of Wikipedia in front of me.
Okay. It's the sort of band you hear of, whether you go and listen to them or not, I don't know. But.
It's the sort of bands you see on Tees in Camden Market.
He definitely always used to play those gigs. And actually, I was invited once and I didn't go for whatever reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you go? What do you do instead?
I was probably bloody working, like making these fangs.
Please, Mr. Dentist, I need someone to help me. An RTD qualification would really put me at ease. They're fashioning some fangs for me, and so that this big overbite, they'd be rewarded when alright. Tickets to damn shows for life. Right.
And I think one of the biggest people you've maybe worked with is David Hockney,
yeah,
who is obviously a big deal artist. Like, his paintings have sold for like $19 million,
and the rest.
Yeah, and you weren't really familiar with him, were you? And you actually delayed his appointment.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I got a call from the surgery to say, oh, we're sending. We'd like to send David Hockney down. I knew he was going to be coming down, but when they phoned me, I didn't realise that that's the patient they were talking about. And I said, basically, look, I'm really busy. Can you get him to reschedule and come down maybe one day next week? So without realising it, I told David Hockney to fuck off and come back when I'm ready.
I feel like David Hockney wouldn't really mind, though, would he? Did you meet
him? What a lovely bloke.
Was he a nice guy?
He really was a typical, like, he was right in Northern, you know. Driven, you know, his boyfriend drove him down, and they went next door into Franco's and had a coffee because they were early. And obviously, no one in Franco's had a bleeding clue who they were. You've got one of the most famous artists in the world sitting in Franco's coffee shop, and he didn't have a clue who he was. Mind you, I wouldn't. He was such a. And it was right on the day when the smoking ban first came in. And he was all he was doing was he said, oh, no one's going to tell me when I can smoke or not.
He's still doing it now, I think. He must be like 90 odd, I don't know.
Well, funny enough, he tells a story. He told us a story about when he first moved to LA, you know, and he really made it out there, because, you know, they used to call him the Beatles artist, I think.
Right.
Because he did a lot of stuff with the Beatles and whatever. And he also done all those swimming pool shops and whatever, which he sold for absolute millions.
Yeah, they're massive.
And anyway, he told us his story about when he was living in the Hollywood Hills. And his mum was still alive, you know, typical, you know, northern village, little semi-detached somewhere. Anyway, he flew her out to LA to come and stay with him for the week. And anyway, apparently this place was beautiful. It just overlooked the whole of the Hollywood Hills. And anyway, it was a Sunday morning, and it was her first day or two there. And she was sort of standing out on his balcony, overlooking all these, you know, this vast area of all these mansions and whatever. And he said, "Well, Mum, it's a lovely sunny day." And he said, "Well, what do you think, Mother?" She looked around and she said, "Oh, David, what a shame. What a shame. A lovely day like this and no one's got their washing out." And that's a true story.
Wow. So it sounds like you hit off with David Hockney.
I mean, look, there's me doing a diagram and a shape colour match for someone like David Hockney. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm under a bit of pressure here. And I sort of tried to explain to him what I was doing, and he went, "Nah, just get on with it. You know what you're doing." Just a normal down to earth, really down to earth sort of bloke.
That's always cool to see, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you remember the Osbournes dad on Channel 4?
Yes.
When I was thinking about rock stars and dentistry, there's one episode where Ozzy goes to see his dentist, and he's having some sort of work done, but he keeps asking the nurse to pump up the Novocaine. But, you know, to the point where he's just doing it beyond, you know, the pain. He just wants the hit, do you know what I mean? Because he's probably had years of doing heroin or whatever he was on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he literally gets so wasted that he's literally just stumbling around the surgery. And like,
I didn't see that. I didn't see that one.
Oh, it's funny. Is that I need to go back and watch the Osbournes because, like, you know, they were all over the place when I was a kid, but obviously it went over my head.
Yeah.
So there's some proper funny clips I've seen from
I remember seeing a few of them. But you know, McCartney used to live in Wimpole Street in London. Yeah, anyone know that?
Right.
Well, Wimpole Street is within the medical district of Harley Street. So you've got Harley Street, Wimpole Street, Devonshire Place, Portland Place. There's like probably a quarter of a square mile, quarter of a square, which is very, very medically orientated. And I used to work in Harley Street. And
yeah.
McCartney lived in Wimpole Street. And apparently there was a dentist there, and I don't know the guy's name, but he was the first one that McCartney, when he first took cocaine, at like a house party in Wimpole Street, because the dentist could legally get cocaine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Back in, we're talking about the, I don't know, maybe the late 60s. Like, yeah, probably mid to late 60s.
But like, so would that be for, you know, doing a root canal and
Novocaine. You've heard of Novocaine, yeah?
Yeah.
It was they used to legally use cocaine for part of their practice.
Well, maybe that's another crossover, the dental and rock star world, like the dealer element of it. there must be some sort of stories, because I guess it would always be somebody who knows a guy who knows
that's
a guy.
That's when dental technicians come in again.
Yeah. I know earlier we were talking about the dentist getting all the glory and you getting the offcuts of the glory.
Pretty much, yeah.
But there's one instance I remember you telling me about Elton John and the gift he gave to the dentist. What was the story there?
Yeah, we did a job for Renata John. And he used to go to the same dentist, a guy called... Dr. Barry Hemphill, who was in Harley Street, and it took ages to get this right. But this one went on, it wasn't right, you know, and she kept backs and forwards to the lab and whatever. Eventually we got it right. And about a week later, this dentist, Barry Hemphill, turns up at the lab in Harley Street to show us the present that he'd been bought by Elton John. Getting the job right. Don't forget. This is the dentist showing us the present he's got from Elton John. Nothing to do with the lab, but this dentist thought he'd come down and show us what he'd been given. And it was a pair of earrings that were designed like in a pyramid, a pyramid shape, and they were all sorts of. They were very, very expensive. I can't remember how much it was. Oh. Ridiculous. 1980s, it was like $5,000, something like that. Anyway, apparently it symbolised the fact that the pyramids took less time to make than this job for his wife. So that was the play on it, yeah.
Is that almost a backhanded gift? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it took him so long, but... You know, the sort of backhand is in gold. It sort of makes it sweeter. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think there was any malice in the comment, put it that way.
Right.
I just think it was like a bit of a, oh, yeah, well done, guys. Well done, Dr. Hemphill, I should say, for sorting this out. But his job was no different to ours, apart from the fact that he used to fit him. You know, he used to try and make.
Did he wear the earrings?
Yeah, sorry, they weren't earrings. What am I talking about? They were cufflinks.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm sorry, they were cufflinks, yes.
Did he wear them at all? Did you see it?
No, I never saw him wear them.
Not in the wild?
No.
Speaking of, you know, jewels and, you know, gifts of that nature, there's also a big thing with grills, which is a big thing that celebs are doing at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's weird. I was on the Wikipedia page and it says grills, the essential gems into tea predates hip hop culture and started in what is now Mexico, where wealthy Mayans draw pieces of jade into their teeth. But it's funny because it goes from that Mayans, who were around thousands of years before, like BC, and jumped straight to hip hop in the early 80s. So there's a big blind spot there. But I'm sure there must be other stuff in between that. But hip-hop artists such as Raheem the Dream, Kilo Ali began wearing grills in the early 80s. And there was a guy called Eddie Plain who had a company called Eddie's Gold Teeth. And it basically corresponded with a lot of the East Coast scene and made grills, which are essentially bejeweled teeth that you clip on for Big Daddy Kane. And he later moved to Atlanta, where he made grills for Outkast and Lil Jon. So it's quite synonymous with the hip-hop community, but it's now more a big thing in the celebrity world as well. So you've got people like Cara Delevingne, Justin Bieber, Rihanna, Lady Gaga, Madonna. They've all got grills at the moment. And I don't know if you're familiar with this person, Dad, but there's a grill and jewel maker called Dolly Cohen. Have you ever heard of her?
Is she American or English?
I'm not actually too sure, but she's based in Paris.
Right.
But she's technically a dental technician, but she specializes just in making grills.
Wow.
For these really high profile clients.
Right. And I don't know about her.
Am I right in saying that this whole movement, obviously there's a lot of money to be made in these things with big stars, it's made some waves in the dental technician world, is that right?
Yeah, because it would be, you have to be careful what you do, because if you're working with a dentist, fine. Say technician, dentist, patient goes to the dentist, they do the impressions. It's perfectly legal, but there's a bit of backstreet stuff going on here.
Right.
And, you know,
I think I've seen some videos of people in London who started doing grills on their own. You see them doing the impressions, like, just in...
I know what you saw. You saw, like, a YouTube thing.
Well, I think I've seen them on Instagram.
You're probably right. See, a lot of the time, what happens is I'm a dental technician, okay? So if I did that, I'd get struck off. So I'm not allowed to do that. So I've got something to lose. But if I'm, say you did it, you know, you could get away with it, because what are they going to take away from you?
Yeah.
You know, you got nothing to lose. You're not going to lose your qualification. You know, you don't have it.
And it's not like there's a law against it.
Well, it's, you know what? Maybe there is. It's very grey areas here.
I guess, do you feel like there's a load of backstreet dental technicians on the rise?
No.
You don't?
No. No, it's but for that sort of thing, you know, you've got a couple of guys out there making a bit of money. You know, at the end of the day...
I'm just imagining in 30 years' time when dental technicians are literally like influencers now, and they're the most sought after job in the world. And it's just got this quote on this interview being like, there was a famous dental technician, Robin Kerwick, who denied they would ever be a wanted profession. Famous last words.
But the thing is, that you'd have to be a lawyer really to answer the questions, you know, correctly. How they can bend words and stuff and meanings.
So why is it a grey area? I'm confused.
Well, because I'm a technician.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not a dentist, okay? So it's illegal for me to actually make anything and then put it in a patient's mouth.
Yeah.
Right. Essentially, to get the grills, you'd have to get the impressions of the teeth. And my dad's not allowed to do that.
That would be illegal for me to do.
Okay.
So, if I was going to do it, let's just say I had a dentist, one of my dentist clients, and the patient went there and they'd done the impression, then I made the grills. That's totally legal.
Mm.
But I'm not allowed to do that on my own.
I could fully imagine, you know, sort of like Breaking Bad, where, you know, he gets involved in some dodgy dealings and stuff. I can imagine a scenario where this, you know, real big celeb or this really hot rap group gets wind of this humble dental technician working in South London from the suburbs. And, you know, this person might be down in their luck or something. And then this successful rap group gives this dental technician a retainer and says, come on tour with us and you can make custom stuff. And
I'll tell you what, no, there are technicians doing it.
Really, right?
There's definitely technicians doing it. But they're not, it's not a massive amount. You know, there's one or two, definitely.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're a technician, they're risking their professional qualification.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do it for that reason.
One thing I always wonder with grills, though, is because, you know, they're very precious stones that are going to be used, gold, diamonds, jewels, whatever. I know people mainly have ones that you can take out.
Well, that's right.
Put back in.
That's right.
But surely there's some permanent ones you can get as well, right?
Well, Goldie's, he's the prime example. He's got all these teeth of gold.
Could he use conventional toothpaste on, like, you know, gems and gold? Or would you need something else?
You see teeth whitening, you're like, shit.
That's why they need to be removed. You know, you have to be able to take them out and clean them. It'd be impossible.
So if that was a permanent thing, so you said Goldie might have permanent ones.
Yeah, but Goldie's got like, it's a normal contour of a tooth, but they're gold.
Right, okay. So if there was a set of pure gold teeth, you'd have to use some sort of weird polish instead of toothpaste, is that right?
No, you could still use toothpaste. you could, but once you start getting diamond encrusted stuff, then it's not a flat surface, is it?
Mm.
So therefore, and that's why they're important, they are removable and cleanable.
There are a lot of articles that I'm finding on Google on guides to clean your grills.
There you go.
Have you got any instructions to pull up, Neil?
I've got a few. Number one, rinse off your grill.
Yes.
Number two, hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number three, rinse off your grill again.
after we've put the acid on.
Number four, use a cloth to dry it, and then five, let it sit.
That is exactly why they should never be permanent. They should be removable.
It'd be funny to see a rapper going, or you know, whoever, like a celebrity or whatever, going through that routine after like a really heavy night. You know,
I probably would. Deserve the
grills. I might just leave it in the morning. It's pretty late.
You get into your bed, it's like, oh, I can't wait to go to sleep. And his missus is like, oh, come on, you need to clean your grills.
if that put them in a glass of water, someone would have them away.
Yeah. that is insane. But yeah, I imagine it's quite hard to, you know, if you did have them permanently, if you're, say, eating ribs or something, I find it difficult to get them out of my permanent brace at the back of my teeth.
Exactly, yeah.
Imagine just trying to shine it off of like a diamond or a precious gem or something.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty rough. Would you ever go for the grills yourself, Dad?
Well, it'd be nice to put in on a Saturday night, wouldn't it?
Yeah, sure. Something I just thought. Yeah. When you were a kid, did you have the tooth fairy?
Cool.
Yes.
I feel like your dad would have called it the dental technician or something.
Yeah. What's the qualification? RTA. The tooth fairy RTA.
RDT.
RDT, Tooth Fairy RDT. Yeah, some sort of qualification there. What sort of cash did you used to get for the Tooth Fairy, Rich?
I got £2 per tooth, mate.
That's pretty good going.
Yeah, I was doing well. Mate.
Yeah, that's about the same.
Yeah, but two of my baby teeth never came out. I still got them.
Well, what? Someone owes you £4 then.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I've been mugged off here.
Yeah. That's pretty good, right? I wonder if there's ever been anybody like really cold and forgot to do it and just bank transferred the kid.
Oh, I'll tell you what, that probably will be the case.
Or the reference to tooth fairy with interest.
Yeah, that's a weird tradition. I wonder where that stemmed from, the tooth fairy thing. Did you used to get any gifts for the tooth fairy dad back in the 60s?
Oh, I think it was like, I don't know, what they used to call sixpence.
Oh, right.
Tanner, which is two and a half peas. Don't get too excited.
What would that get you? A bag of crisps?
Yeah, probably, pretty much, yeah. or a bag of some sort of candy that would make sure you lost the second ones as well.
So it originated from Vikings, I believe, Tooth Fairy.
Did it?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So it's funny because Vikings brought a lot of swearing over, but also something so innocent as a Tooth Fairy. Like a lot of swear words come from Viking
Yeah, it's strange. It says Vikings use children's teeth and other items from their children to bring them good luck in battle. So it was always, it stemmed from that, really.
Be weird if like a Viking lost their item of good fortune and just literally just proper prying out a molar from their like toddler saying, I need the luck. Of quite a dark image there.
It's really
all right, Dad. Well, thanks for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it. And
nice chat.
As an intro, am I right to share that video of you working out to Rick Astley?
Well, I think you want to make it clear, though, that I was not working out to Rick Astley. I was working out, and you added the music.
Well, it matches up very precisely.
Okay. All I'm saying is I wasn't actually using that music.
He's a proper journalist, your son, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Dirty spins.
Dodgy editing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's MEAT episode 11. Thank you very much for joining us, guys. Again, MEAT pod on Instagram and Twitter. Like and subscribe if you're into it. And we are going to be joined by Marianne Eloise on the next episode to talk about My Chemical Romance, her emo diary, which she publishes on her Twitter account, and other bands from that era. So stay tuned for next time and have a good one. Cheers, guys. Stay safe.
I think you want to make it clear, though, that I was working out to Rick Astley. Yeah, okay, all I'm saying is I was working out to Rick Astley.